Hey, Alyssa.
Hey, Sam.
Are you ready?
I am.
Sounded depressing.
I'm a little bit like kind of sad because it's the end of season one.
I know.
It's crazy. Stuck at the office or traffic jam. Time to take it easy with Alyssa and Sam. Is that show you know? A pro. It went by so fast.
It really did. Like when we first started talking about the podcast, we were only going to do 6 episodes, and this is episode 12.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I know.
So for today's podcast, we thought it would be a nice kind of season ender to just answer your guys' questions, you know?
Yeah, I'm really excited. I reached out on Instagram to see what people were interested in, and I think you're going to be surprised with some of the questions.
Got some juicy ones?
Yeah, there's a lot about our friendship.
Ooh.
I know.
We're getting into it.
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, I don't know. Should we just, like, dive right in?
You can go hard with those questions. I have some little burning questions for you after.
Oh. Okay, so the first question is, what is your advice for people who are stuck, frozen, and uninspired?
This is me answering this.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I think that, stuck, frozen, or uninspired. I mean, uninspired is something that happens to people all the time. And I think that especially if you're working in a creative field, but really any field, there are going to be times where you feel that way. And I think it's just like, you have to let it pass and whatever, like it's not that big of a deal. If you're feeling stuck as in like stuck in a job, I think that no better time than now. And like, it's also, there's no better time, but there's also like no worse time. You know what I mean? Because right. Like, it always is going to feel like, oh, but if this thing, once this thing is done, or once this thing is taken care of, then I can do what I want to do kind of thing. But it's just like, you don't lose your experience. And I think we talked about this a little bit in the, like quitting our jobs to follow our dreams podcast. You don't lose all of the experience and like everything that you are just by going and trying something else, like if you were wanting to do a career switch or something like that. So I think just do it. That's what I say.
We're going to get sued by Nike.
How's that for advice?
This was like a question that got asked a lot, so I'm just going to answer it right now. When will the next season be out?
Ooh.
So we're going to take a 4-week hiatus. So the last episode of season one, which is this one, is airing on July 24th. And then we will be back on the 21st of August.
Very exciting.
Yes. A lot of people are also asking like what we have in store. We don't, you guys, we need to have a little bit of excitement. And
you know, you got to keep it spicy.
And
you got to keep it exciting.
Yeah, but what I will say is we do have like big changes are coming.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of exciting things. And as soon as we're like ready to share them, obviously.
You'll be the first to know.
Yeah, I'm going to be the first to know. This was a question that I feel like we kind of answered again in the quitting your job to follow your dreams. But what does having a meaningful life mean to you? I'll just quickly say mine because I said it already. I think that having a meaningful life is being happy. And everybody's happiness is different from another person's, and what might make somebody else happy won't make you happy and vice versa. So I think for me, it's just like sourcing out happiness. Again, like Charlotte said in Sex and the City, you don't have to be happy all day, every day, but it helps to be happy every day.
Yeah. I think for me, like finding happiness through things other than like what we normally focus our attention and energy on, like our jobs and whatever. Like, you know, I like to find happiness in those external factors like nature and the dogs and my family and all that kind of stuff. And in terms of like a meaningful life, I think that every day has meaning, you know, good and bad.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'm emotional today. So my eyes started watering. What is your goal for the podcast and who is your dream guest?
World domination.
Yeah.
Thought you never asked that.
I think the goal for the podcast for me kind of has changed like throughout the season.
Yeah.
I think at first I thought it would just be fun, like something fun to do with you.
Yeah.
You meaning Sam. and all of you. But I think now my goal is to talk about topics that help people or resonate with people, because the feedback that we've gotten from some of the topics that we've covered has just been honestly life-changing and amazing the things that people are saying, and that we can kind of, I don't know, maybe start a conversation, even if it's like, you know, however many people, it's just so important. And I think that that's like my continued goal. Who would my dream guest be though? I don't know. I don't have an answer for that one.
I don't know if I do either. I'm not like, I don't like dream of like people.
You know what I do want? My dream would be coming up with a guest that I would hope to have and having the reach to obtain those people. Mm. Like, because I was reading in Reader's
Digest. You read Reader's Digest? Oh my God, you and everyone over 70. What is wrong with you?
As that was coming out of my mouth, I was like, oops.
Anyway. Should have just said an article. Like.
I was reading in Reader's Digest about this young woman who was misdiagnosed.
Was it a young woman?
It was a young woman. How dare you? She was misdiagnosed for a long time with some of her like chronic illnesses and stuff like that. And I thought it would be so cool to be able to reach out to her and get her as a stop laughing at me about Reader's Digest.
I just saw your face go from like, I was reading in Reader's Digest. Whatever. Sorry, go on.
Anyway, I thought it would be cool to be able to reach out to her and have her on the podcast. But when I read this, the podcast wasn't even a thing yet, I don't think. We were just like obviously conceptualizing it. And I think it would be cool to actually have that reach to, you know, have those people on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you answer that? What your goal was for the podcast?
I just think like the goal for me is like making it a little bit more of a long-term project. Like I think, yeah, I wasn't putting too much thought into it originally. I was just like, this will be fun. Like, I think this will be like a good like creative outlet and stuff like that. But I think now since starting it, I'm like, oh, this feels really right to me. Like it feels like something that I do want to like commit like time and energy to like have it be a longer term project. So that's really like my only thing that I can share.
It's nice.
Yeah.
This is interesting, something that I would never actually think of. I don't know if you want to answer this, actually, but what's your ideal way for a fan / subscriber to approach you in public?
Oh, I've had this question asked to me before.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I don't care. I don't really care. Like, I think if you want to, like, come say hi, that's fine and normal to do. I have ways that I don't like to be approached. For instance, when I'm crying in an airport, but it's like, it doesn't bother me. Like when I'm like out for dinner or anything like that and people come up, like, cause a lot of times they're like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's fine.
Yeah.
Take a shot.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I have fans.
Okay. But. How dare you? How dare you? You have diehards.
But you're going to get the criers for sure. If I did, I would feel exactly the same way. I don't care. Take as many pictures with me as you want. I don't even got, well, I mean, I'd be pretty embarrassed if I was crying, for sure. Yeah.
If you were crying?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you were crying.
If I was like crying in an airport, like.
I thought you meant crying to meet them.
Like, yeah, no.
They were like, I love you. And you were like, I love you too.
I probably would. What's the inspiration behind your podcast and how did you decide on the content?
I think that we had both kind of like we had discussed the idea of doing it and stuff like that. And we were thinking like, would we want to have like a really structured theme? And we were basically like, no, we want to just kind of talk about whatever we want to talk about, whatever comes up. And, you know, there's been weeks where we've pushed other topics back because we wanted to get one out sooner because it was something that was going on in the world or whatever. And I like that flexibility. I like being able to just talk about whatever we have on our mind kind of thing. And in terms of like the name and stuff, I think we were just like sitting there trying to brainstorm. And then I can't remember who said, but someone was like,
yeah, I don't remember either.
Someone was basically like, I just want to make this like these topics like approachable. And then we like looked at each other and we were like, well, there's the name.
Yeah, I remember that moment because we like weeks and weeks before we were at actually the nail salon, like trying to come up with like names for the podcast, and we couldn't come up with something, and we
had some rough contenders.
Oh yeah, we do. I remember Let Us Chat was one of them.
Okay, you know, and perhaps that was a visionary thing to say. I don't know.
But I do remember sitting in your beauty room and the aha moment where we both just looked at each other and Sam like got on her keyboard and was looking it up and she's like, it's not taken.
Yeah. Because like, that's the other thing too. It's like sometimes you come up with a good name, but then it's like trademarked.
Yeah, and you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
This one is for Sam, I think. How do you know if you're ready for marriage and if it's the right decision?
Oh my God. How do I say this? Well, it was literally last night that I was like, Matt, I'm nervous to marry you. I don't think there was like a moment where I was like, I'm ready now. Like, I think that it was more so just something where the closer we get to the wedding, the more I'm like, this is fine. It's going to be fine. And like, I think that I more so just felt like I've been in relationships and I've been in flings. And this is like the only time that I felt like I'm in like a partnership where I'm like, okay, like we're working towards common goals. Like we, you know, like we try to be conscious of each other's things and whatever, like, you know, and I think that it just does feel more like we're working towards something together rather than like we're living two lives separately, kind of going in different directions.
Yeah.
And so that made me feel a lot more confident about the idea of like staying with this person long term. And I think, like, ultimately for me, I had to, like, let go of the idea of there being this, like, immaculate, divine person that was going to be, like, the one. And, like, we're never going to have problems. And, like, there's no chance of us divorcing because, like, that's not realistic.
Right.
Like, and even it doesn't matter, like, how much you love someone. Like, you can grow apart. There's so many things about my life that changes so constantly. And same with Matt's life and everything. And so I think that it's just more so, like, you wake up, you make the decision, and go on with your life. And like, to me, the decision feels right right now, so I follow it, and if it stopped feeling right, then see you later, Matt.
A couple people have asked similar questions, but how have you and Sam stayed such close friends for so long? I would say we've always been friends. I would say that like our friendship hasn't, it's not like it's gotten like worse or better, but I would say that we've been like closer in the past year than we have been since probably high school. Whenever we would like get back together, like in a city or whatever, because I lived in Toronto and she lived in Vancouver, or I lived in Saskatoon and she lived in Vancouver, whatever. Every time we did meet up, it felt normal and it felt like organic and stuff. But I think just from my side, like having the understanding that we were both on different like life journeys for a while and respecting that from each other, and just always kind of having the respect of a best friend regardless of how often we like text or communicate or whatever. Because as you grow up, I mean, if you're not like in somebody's life every day or whatever, it is hard to continue a relationship like long distance and stuff like that. So like allowing the relationship to breathe doesn't mean that it's over. It just means like this is what we're doing right now.
And I think that like not having that stress and that pressure of feeling like we had to keep up with one another kind of thing is what helped our relationship long term. Because I mean, yeah, like there was months that would go by where we wouldn't talk, and it wasn't like, hey, just wondering what's going on, I haven't heard from you. Like it's just like we know what's going on, like you're living your life and I'm living mine. So I think that I think just being conscious of each other and trying to be there when we need to be there, even from afar, like we tried to do that, I think. And
I think so too. If you could spend the day with one person dead or alive, who would it be and why? I would obviously spend it with my dad. I don't think I need to explain why.
Don't know. I'm not like, I don't have a lot of that feeling of like I want to meet this person so bad, because I don't think I care.
So me.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, or what if we changed the question? That's not the thing we're doing, but
we're doing it now.
Yeah. Dead or alive or animal that could talk to you.
Talking killer whale. That's what Matt said in the video. Someone asked him, he was like, who would you want to talk to, dead or alive? And Matt was like, I think he said like Martin Luther King for something like that, and then he was like, talking killer whale, talking killer whale. I'm like, of all the fucking things, you weirdo. Or an animal? No, I still don't.
Because you couldn't.
My answer's still no.
You couldn't pick between Arrow and Kuma.
I don't want them to talk.
Why?
Because that would ruin the dynamic. If your dog could talk to you and they gave you even a little bit of lip, you'd be like, I didn't think you were like this. I don't want that.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to do a second season? Hell yeah.
We don't. No, this is it. We've had about enough.
Thanks for coming. Yeah, we don't really plan on stopping. The only reason that we want to take hiatus between seasons is so that our content stays worthwhile, I guess, because we could sit here and just like bullshit, but I don't think that that's fair to release.
We want
to
plan it.
Yeah, exactly. What kind of difficulties have you two faced in your friendship / how to revive struggling friendships?
I mean, I think that we, well, you had like talked about like, you know, us, obviously we lived like in very different parts of the world. And so like we weren't seeing each other often and stuff like that. And that was fine for us. Like, I don't feel like it was ever something that really was an issue.
No.
We just kind of saw each other when we saw each other and talked when we wanted to and didn't when we didn't.
Yeah.
But obviously like we have had like falling outs and stuff like that. Like most friendships do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like there was ever like, from what I recall, I don't feel like in any of our falling outs, it was something where like we even meant to rekindle. I think it just kind of happened. It just happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's what I would say to like, how do you, what did they say?
Revive.
Revive. Right. That's what I think what I would say to like reviving a friendship is, if it's meant to be revived, it will just happen organically. I remember when I was in middle school, I had this really good friend. She was really like, she was so nice, so sweet. And we did just have a falling out, just because she like made different friends and I was kind of like doing my own thing. And I remember being really sad about it because I missed that friendship. And I messaged her and I was like, you know, it'd be cool if like when we go back to school, because this was in the summer, you know, we could be friends again. And she was like, I think that if it's like something that happens, it happens. If not, it doesn't. And I was really hurt by that, obviously. But she was such a different person after that summer. And I was just different too. And so it didn't, like, our friendship didn't make sense. It's not that there was like this big thing, like we never had a fight or whatever. It was just that like she was going down one path and I was going down another. And it was just, you know, so, and I think that that sometimes happens and you can still like have love for each other.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you're just different. Maybe you outgrew each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. How has moving in together affected your friendship?
I don't think it really did, like, in a way. I don't think it, like, affected it, like, yeah, in the way that people would think it would, kind of thing.
Suck on that, Dawn.
Yeah, I think we just spent, obviously we spend a lot more time together and stuff like that, but I don't think that it was something where we had to, like, adjust even, really.
No. I think what happens in a lot of cases when you move in with somebody is you can get on each other's nerves and stuff like that, but I live in a completely different area of the house.
Yeah.
So we both have our own spaces and like we're not scared to be like, oh, I'm going to go do this today or whatever.
Yeah. It's not like we're like roommates so much as like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I have a completely different suite in the house. So.
Yeah. We have like a little bit of separation that way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's affected us in the better because I'm happier and I think you're happier.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
How has making and releasing the podcast affected you two individually? We kind of already talked about this, but I think that it's like sparked my passion for what we're doing. And it's made me realize that you can like make something where nothing was before.
Yeah, I ditto.
Okay. How did you meet?
Ugh, a classic story.
A classic love story. Actually, Sam and I have a video on Sam's YouTube channel where, what was the actual video? Ask My Best Friend, I think it was.
I think so.
Yeah. This is actually from before I lived with Sam too, and it was really fun. But we talk all about like how we met and like kind of our friendship and stuff like that. But the short story is we met in high school.
Yeah.
Genuinely curious about Alyssa's day-to-day journey into acting and how it's going. It is soul-crushing. No, it is hard, and there are a lot of really tiresome moments and like thoughts of doubt and stuff like that. It's not an easy, I don't think any like passion is an easy career path to choose, but it's important, obviously. But yeah, things are good. I'm continuing to go down the path that I have to. I'm still taking extras work. I'm going to casting director workshops. I was until recently in scene study and stuff. I have an agent. I went on an audition recently. So I'm
chipping
trying to
away.
It, yeah, I'm trying to make it happen. But honestly, it's, you know, I mean, it's hard.
Yeah. Well, I think you're doing well.
Thanks, Sam.
For what it's worth.
What somebody asked, what's the biggest change that you implemented that positively affected your mental health?
Oh, wow. Oh, where do I begin? Okay, this is a recent change of mine, and this seems silly, kind of, but like it's actually made a huge difference. Two things, actually, I'm going to mention. So the first thing is starting to utilize an agenda. Just because I use that to plan out my day, so I have less anxiety and stress around missing appointments or whatever kind of things like that. And then also because I use that to check off every single thing I do in the day. So even if it's something like I'll pencil in like reading or art or whatever, like self-care things. And then when I check that off, it becomes just as important as everything else in my day. So I start to actually prioritize, you know, like taking care of myself alongside my work and all the other crap that I have to do. And then recently I, just like put a SIM card into an old phone. So now I have like my regular phone, that like everyone has that number. And then I have my second phone now, which like, I think there's like 6 contacts in that phone.
Yeah.
And it's like the people who would like need to get in contact with me kind of thing. So obviously like my parents and Matt and you and stuff. So, yeah. It's like emergency contacts, and that has really helped because on that second phone, I have no apps, no FaceTime, no, like nothing. Like it's literally just, if you need to contact me, you can. And there's nothing else on there, which is nice because I was spending so much time on my phone, and I was noticing that at the end of the day, I felt really, really emotionally and like mentally drained and exhausted, like to the point where like I didn't even want to talk to Matt at the end of the day because I was so exhausted, like yeah. from just soaking up all this like negativity and like anger all day because of reading stuff that made me mad and just different stuff like that. So I think like those were the two biggest changes that I have made recently that have made a huge difference.
Yeah, I think me, I don't know. I'm coming up on 1 month of no alcohol. And Dang. Yeah, I know, 4 days away. I'm not saying that I'll never drink alcohol again or anything, but like I said, alcohol gives me really bad anxiety. And more so even just like that day of like feeling such low self-worth afterwards, even if I just have a couple or whatever. So I just decided when I got back from Vegas that I was going to not drink alcohol until I felt like it. And not like, oh, I want to drink, but like, okay, I'm going to go back now. And yeah. I haven't had that moment. And I think that it has been really a positive change for me. So I'm going to keep that going until I don't feel like it anymore. Would you guys ever do an episode with Matt about his addiction history?
Oh, it's coming, baby.
She's on the way.
When I first asked Matt about that, he was like, the world's not ready for my story. And I was like, oh, God. But then he came back to me a couple days later and he was like, okay, I'm ready. I was like, okay, sure. So, yeah, we are going to do a podcast all about it. Ask those juicy cues.
What's your favorite candy?
Candy? Ugh, where do I begin?
Wait, let me see if I can guess.
Okay.
Oh, shoot. There's so many. Okay, wait.
Exactly.
Not chocolate. We're taking out chocolate.
Okay.
It's only like candy.
Okay.
Let me think. I mean, I'm going to have to go with those rainbow things because you said yesterday that they're your favorite.
They're divine.
The rainbow leathers.
I do love rainbow belts.
Would that be your favorite, do you think?
I'd say. It's like a rare treat now. But yeah. Yeah, it's up there.
Other than that, I think that I would probably say Nerds, but I don't know if that's true. Skittles. Oh, goodness. You haven't eaten Skittles in front of me in like, I don't even know how long.
That's not accurate.
When was the last time?
A couple months ago. Exactly. Sorry for trying to wean off.
What personality trait do you admire about one another and wish you had as well? Love you, girls. Thank you. Love you, too.
I'm going to have to get you to go first on that one. Let me, like, give this a real solid think.
Okay. I would say it's so hard to put it into words, but I would say like your
charm, charisma.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, your humor is freaking hilarious. So I just don't know if I would want it because I don't think I could pull it off anyway. But like, I think that my humor is like kind of like being an embarrassing person, which is like funny. But I don't think I would choose that. I think I would choose like your like, I don't give a fuck attitude. And that's not like a negative.
It's a blessing and a curse. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Because I think that it's so amazing to watch you conduct like business. because you just like, you stand by what your like beliefs and your morals are, and you're like, I don't really care because this isn't going to happen if you don't change your fucking attitude, basically. So I wish that I...
Any sponsors want to come on the podcast? You could deal with me directly.
No kidding. I think that you're a very strong woman. Thank and I think I'm you're rubbing off on me a little bit. So ooh. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm conducting business now.
Look at you.
Yeah, but before I was like, yeah, for sure. No, of course.
Okay, one trait of yours. Ooh. I'm kind of torn between two different things. I would say either your work ethic, because you have good work ethic. That's an understatement. But then that just doesn't go in line with my I don't give a fuck attitude. That's the problem. Or I would say like your discretion, because like I feel like that's always at the front of your mind and it's like more at the back of mine. Because like I think that especially because I've been online so long, I just assume that anything I say is getting passed on to 2 million people, like basically. Right. And so I think that like, I've just like watched how much discretion you have for like basically everything in your life. Mm. And like, that's just like not a quality that I've like focused on basically in my life.
Right.
But yeah. I admire it.
Yeah. You know what? You've said that to me a couple of times actually, and I never thought about it before.
I think because it's literally such a like core part of your values that it's something you don't think about.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. So yeah, I'm a vault to anybody who needs...
you need to vent. You're going to have people like, hi, Alyssa.
All up in your DMs. Yeah, unless it's illegal. I don't want to hear about that stuff. I don't need to be an accomplice.
Yeah, no kidding.
Any advice on how to stop dating men who are bad for you and your mental health? Let me talk to you about this. I have really only dated men who are bad for me. No, I'm just kidding. I did when I was in high school and stuff, and then right after. And I think that there's a really dangerous part of people that you can get swept up in something that feels so exciting, and you can mistake lust for love a lot of times, and codependency for love and stuff like that. And I think becoming as self-aware as you can is really important, and understanding that you are a whole person without that person, and then just making sure that you create boundaries and stuff from what you accept from your next partner. I think that's huge. Just creating like what you
solid advice.
Thank you.
No problem.
What would you say?
Leave them. Frankly, like that.
Close the garage door. Sale?
I close the garage door, man.
I wish everyone could hear that story. I freaking love that story.
I'm happy to freaking talk about it when we do our relationships podcast.
I'm really struggling at my new job. Have you guys ever felt inadequate at a job?
Oh my God, of course.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
I'm a human. I think something that really helped me at Cactus Club, which was a restaurant that I worked at for 8 years, was having... a line of communication with my superiors.
Mm.
Because I think that a lot of companies don't give feedback enough. And so you're kind of left in the, like in the wilderness. Danger being like, zone. Yeah, like, what am I doing? Am I doing enough or whatever? I think doing everything to the best of your ability is important. That's like a core part of my values as well. I think that as long as you're doing that, there's nothing else that somebody can ask from you. But if you're confused about something, always ask the question, because it's better to ask the question when you're in training than to be like 4 or 5 or 6 months down the line and still not know how to do something because you were too scared to ask the question.
Yeah.
And in line with that, if you're too scared to ask the question, then maybe it's not the right place for you either, because you should be with a supervisor who you feel comfortable talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like feeling inadequate too is just like a very human emotion.
Oh, of course.
That like goes into so many different things beyond like work. It's just normal, you know?
Yeah.
Was that an incredible follow-up to your speech?
Well, it was, because I didn't actually even think about the whole inadequate thing. I was thinking of it coming from like a corporate standpoint.
Okay, great. I'm so glad. So happy to contribute where I can. Yeah.
Okay, so very exciting, you guys. We have another sponsor.
It's very exciting for my armpits specifically. So today's sponsor is Native Deodorant, and I'm ecstatic about this personally because I just personally use the brand, and I have been for a few months now. I made the switch to natural, like, aluminum-free deodorant in January. What a time that was, truly. That almost caused a divorce between me and Matt.
She's a stinky gal.
I truly was. I was, like, Googling, like, is this normal? Like, am I normal? Or is this, like, just, is something going so wrong? Turns out I just needed to switch deodorant. So I've been using the cucumber and mint scent from Native Deodorant for the past few months, which... It's simply divine.
It's honestly, it smells so good. Like, it doesn't smell harsh or anything. Like, it smells like such a natural scent. And honestly, it's probably because Native, like, it uses natural ingredients like coconut oil and like shea butter and stuff like that, like tapioca starch and stuff. And it, I just think that it's so important to be using stuff that's found in nature.
We're going back old school, man.
Yeah.
Bringing it back. It's also formulated without aluminum, parabens, or talc, so it's really good for those of you with sensitivities and stuff. Mm-hmm. They do have unscented formulas and baking soda-free formulas as well, if you have sensitivities to that. So if you guys want to try Native Deodorant, you guys can get 20% off your first purchase if you visit nativedeodorant.com and use the promo code APPROACHABLE.
It's super cool, too, because they don't test on animals, so if that's something that you're passionate about as well, which obviously is a huge thing, that's amazing. And there's also no risk to try because Native offers free returns and exchanges in the U.S. So, you know, it's like,
I mean, why not?
Kind of like a why not situation. So, yeah, if you want to try Native Deodorant, you can go to nativedeodorant.com and use promo code APPROACHABLE for 20% off your first order.
So thank you so much to Native, not only for sponsoring this this podcast this week, but also for keeping me stank free.
Yeah,
really appreciate that.
Making our yoga situations a little less stanky.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you like to play board/card games together? Sorry if it's a lame question. Board games are never a lame question, okay?
You literally, like, pinpointed Alyssa's passion.
That is... Okay, my passion is acting and board games.
Truly. I was like, what do you want to do for your birthday this year? And she was like, I think just, you know, like, maybe we could all get together and play board games. It'd be really nice. I'm like, so what we did last year? Okay, great. Yeah, I'll plan for that. Like, this isn't really something we had to discuss, I guess.
I actually found a picture, too, of Sam and I at one of my birthday parties. I think it was, like, my 17th or 16th birthday party, playing Monopoly. It's been like 10 years.
That wasn't even a birthday party, dude. That was literally just the first party. Time I saw you.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry. The first time we ever hung out, we played Monopoly.
Yeah.
And then also on my birthday, we played Monopoly. Okay. Because there was a birthday cake in the picture. And I remember it. I think it was an ice cream cake.
Of course
it was. I was eating the candle in the picture. Like, I was sucking on the candle.
Everyone freaking gets an ice cream cake.
No, I like fruit flan.
Fruit flan, board games, and Reader's Digest. What more is there to life? Of all the things. Literally, that's the last fucking thing I would expect to come out of your mouth. Fruit flan?
I like it. It's different from a fruit cake. Fruit flan is delicious. Anyway. Yes, we love playing board games and card games. We just have to make sure to stay calm.
Board games are like hit and miss for me.
Yeah.
It's just like it taps into like the most like animal side of myself. Yeah. I can't handle it.
Yeah, I definitely had to like learn how to play board games. But we're good now. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? Dream big. We do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we do.
Where do I see myself in 5 years? Still living in Sam's house. or owning like a cul-de-sac on the lake somewhere together.
Okay, wow. Those are two very different. living in someone else's house or owning an entire cul-de-sac.
That's what I mean.
One of the two.
Either we own like a house on the lake and like I live in it still, but you guys like are married and whatever, or we both own houses on the same street type of situation.
Okay. Yeah, my 5-year goals, I would like to start some more businesses. That's an exciting prospect to me. And then I'd like to build my own house, not with my hands, but rather like design the layout and do that.
Yeah.
So I guess also I should put in that I am expecting to be a millionaire.
Yes. Yes.
Because these are some lofty goals I have.
I actually, yeah, to be real, like I don't actually know what my 5-year goals are because right now my life is in such like a flux. Is that a thing? Flux?
Sure.
Fluctuation. Anyway, it's changing a lot because sometimes I feel like I'd like to be like a series regular or something on a show. And then the next day I'm like, ugh, but like, do I want that? Or do I want to try to continue something in like the social media space or whatever? So I think that in 5 years, I just hope that I'm happy and I would like to own a house, like realistically.
And or cul-de-sac.
And or cul-de-sac. I think that that's...
Relax.
I think that that's that. I feel like this is a good follow-up question.
Hit me.
Alyssa, when are you planning to move out and what is the plan for when you do?
Well, once I can buy a cul-de-sac, then I will be moving out.
So sorry, I guess it's not great for you. I just put my foot on the table, not like me moving out. This is the thing, is like we work together, like we have this business together now. I think that I would move out when Matt told me to leave.
Yeah.
Or when I had enough money to like buy a house. But I think that I would still want to live, like, in...
proximity.
Yeah, like, close proximity.
Yeah, I think, like, it's going to be a really not fun transition if we do have to, like, live far away from each other at some point.
I mean, emotionally, just logically.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So I think, like, I'm honestly just going to...
Lifer.
Yeah, ride it out here for a long time. Sam, do you want kids?
I do. Yeah.
Do you want kids? How many do you want? 3?
Well, don't know. I'm going to have to experience the push before I solidify that answer. Because potentially 0. but I, in my mind, I want 3.
Yeah.
Matt wants 2.
Matt wants 2?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, you could talk him into it.
That's what I think. I'm like, I think I'm going to like bear one child and you'll be like, give them all to me.
That's what I think. I think he's going to be so in love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alyssa, when you were a dancer, what kind did you do? It's been so long, but I was a, I took ballet, jazz, and I took hip hop for 1 year and realized that I'm not fly. Sam, favorite vacation?
Favorite vacation? Japan. Backwards, forwards, man.
And why?
Japan is just like a really like special place in my heart. Like I really, really love, the like look and feel of Japan. The food is fantastic. The people are like lovely. It's like a really beautiful culture. Like just honestly everything about it. Like I just think it's such a cool place to travel and it's something that's so unique and so different from, you know, like a lot of like Western places. So I really like it. What about you?
My favorite vacation?
Yeah. She acts surprised.
Well, because I haven't really been as many places as you.
Doesn't matter.
I think that Australia was really nice. My partner Glenn and I had a really good time there. I got to meet his little sisters, who I'm obsessed with. I love them so much. They're so sweet. They're quite a bit younger. So I think they were 7, 9, and 12 or something like that when I was there. And it was just so great to get to know them. And I don't know. I always wanted to go to Australia. So yeah, I think that would have been my favorite. Sam, what's something people don't understand about your life, but you wished they would?
I think that there are people that understand perfectly fine. I think there's people that think I'm living this like luxury lifestyle and that I never have problems and whatever, but it's just like, I'm still like living like a very like normal life for the most part. And
yeah, I would agree with that.
Like you know, like there's no glamorous thing happening really. Like
the thing is I think that you can make anything look glamorous on social media.
Yeah.
And you never know what's happening behind the scenes or whatever. So I think that you've got to experience a lot of things that maybe other people haven't, but I think that that could be said for really anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
As well. How do you balance your time between each other and your partners?
We don't.
No, we really don't.
Well, okay, so like Matt,
I do kind of.
I don't. So Matt is like a very, first of all, he's an only child. Secondly, like Matt's like a very like introverted person. So he, when we first started dating, he was like, why do you want to like do everything together? And I was like so hurt by it because like I'd been in like my past relationships where like we literally did everything together. So I was like, what the hell? But then I got used to it. And then once I got used to it and started doing stuff on my own, he was like, why don't we spend time together? It's like, you chose this life, Matt. But yeah, like Matt's like a very like we just let each other like do our own thing. And I think that that's actually like what's been better for our relationship is that like I can go on about my day. He goes on about his day. We meet back up to like eat sushi somewhere in the middle.
Pretty yeah. accurate.
So I don't.
Yeah. Sam and I do spend the majority of the day together most days. I've tried to take time off from like mine and Sam's hangout sessions when Glenn has a day off. So Glenn has Friday, Saturday, Sundays off. So I try to make sure that I'm available if he wants to like hang out and do stuff and whatever. But I would say that you and I spend more like I would say that you and I spend far more time together than we do with our partners.
Yeah, well, and I think that like also because like Matt runs his own business, we're now like running a business together.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like,
yeah,
work comes first in this household.
That is actually true. What's the hardest decision you've had to make in life so far? How did you decide?
I think like I'm usually so like set in like one direction or the other that I don't feel like I'm the worst with these questions. What do you think?
I feel like I've had so many. I mean, the one that like pops to my mind is like, I feel like this is always like, I know it's not like escape, but like a scapegoat or whatever that's called, but it's like always about my dad. But
I think that's
fair. One of the hardest decisions was to admit him to hospital because he was really stoic. Probably, maybe that's where I get it from. But he acted like he was a lot better off than he was. And so I had to fight to get him in, like, admitted to hospital because the doctors thought that he had a lot more time than he actually had. Just because they only saw him.
Yeah, when he was trying to act tough.
Yeah, exactly. And they weren't doing tests at this point because they already knew it was terminal. So they didn't obviously know and see him when he was at home and stuff. And so it was really hard because my dad did want to be at home. Like, he wanted to be at home as long as possible. And he ended up passing away, I think, 7 days into being in the hospital. So it was obviously the right decision, but it was hard to make at the time. And he actually, the day that he got admitted, it had been like 6 hours or whatever, he thanked me because he was obviously so much more comfortable because I'm not a nurse. Yeah. I can't like administer any medication or anything. And so he was so much more comfortable in hospital. So that was like probably the hardest decision, hopefully the hardest decision I'll ever have to make. I can't imagine making a harder one. But another one was probably, it's not even on the same like wavelength as this, but maybe a little bit more relatable, but leaving my first boyfriend. It was a really, really hard decision for me because I did love him so deeply and was very codependent with him and stuff like that. So it was really hard to decide if I was going to leave him or not.
Yeah.
Alyssa, how do your migraines affect your vision? I have migraine with aura. Also, I sometimes get aura with no migraine and I'm always scared I'm having a stroke. Same. My migraines present in a really weird way. So, I get like pinhole vision and everything kind of around it goes really fuzzy and almost like it's vibrating. And then my speech gets impaired, so I can't talk properly and I can't formulate words or think about the words or be able to spell or anything like that. So that's how my migraines, present. How many plants has Sam killed?
How dare you, first of all. Okay, there just so happened to be some plants in the frame that died. First of all, here's what happened. I used to live in a really bright apartment, and I thought I was Mother Nature, and then I moved my plants to this dark home, and a lot of them died at that point. However, almost all of the plants that I've moved in since have lived. Maybe three in the past year have died.
That's pretty good because you have 40.
Now I have 40. Now I have probably closer to 50
plants.
Something because I just bought a bunch the other day. So maybe 55 plants.
We don't even live in a house. We live in a greenhouse.
Yeah. And it's not enough. Like I'm looking around this room and I'm like, a couple spots I could see that could stand to be filled. How cool would it be though, to like have like a bunch of like hanging plants from the ceiling? Wouldn't that be so nice?
That sounds like spider heaven.
It sounds haven. Like heaven.
How does Matt feel about Alyssa living with him and Sam? Does he feel like the third wheel?
Matt. Again, like, I think Matt's just like such a like individual. Like, he doesn't, I don't think he really cares, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think there was a short time where he was like, I want to spend more time with you. But it was just because, like, he was sensitive that week, and then he got over it.
I think Matt's warming up to me.
I think so, too.
I think so.
8 months later.
Yeah.
8 months later.
What episode from this season were you most passionate about, and why?
I am going to give it... Well, no, I can give a top one. Top one. What Choices Made You Who You Are episode, I think, was, like, one of my favorites, because I think it was, like, a really good opportunity to, like, learn more about, like, us as, like, people. And I thought that was a good episode. I really liked that one.
I think mine might have been the depression and anxiety episode.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it was the first time I had really, really, like...
Had a sit down about it.
Yeah, talked about anxiety, and I was going through a lot of anxiety at that point. So,
yeah. Well, and that's one that I feel like people reference a lot. Like, people come back about that one all the time. And so, yeah. I think that one felt special because, like, it was something that resonated with a lot of people.
Right. Okay. Juicy questions from Samantha Ravindal.
I've got some cues for yous. Mm-hmm. First and foremost. Mm-hmm. What three words would you use to describe me? And then I will tell you mine about you.
You had time to think about this. That's not fair.
I didn't think about it. I wrote it down and I saved it for later.
Okay. Sorry, three words to describe you?
Yeah.
Driven.
Mm-hmm.
Creative.
I'll take it.
Inspiring.
Ooh. Okay, what are my three words? I would say, for you, I would say... hardworking.
Hmm.
Stoic. Hmm. I wouldn't say stoic. Because you almost choked to death and I still felt like you were probably going to be okay and you were going to make it out alive because you would just like will yourself to that. And what else would I use? I think I'd be like people person or something like that. Yeah. Those would probably be my three words like right off the top of my head. What's your biggest fear?
Why did you use that face?
No, I just started laughing, thinking about you being like, the dark.
Yes. My biggest fear used to be spiders, but I wish that was my biggest fear now. I honestly am like almost too scared to even say it because then I feel like it might happen. But I have like an immense fear. I have an immense fear of the nighttime. So not like the dark, because I can have all of the lights on in the house and it can be night time and still be like just so scared. And it's been a thing since forever. And yes, I'm dealing with it in therapy. What's your biggest fear?
If like realistically, probably like dying.
Mm.
Also, my parents dying is like a really like real life fear that I'm not ready for. And I don't think
anybody's ready for that.
I don't think it's going to happen anyways. I'm just hoping for the best.
I think they're immortal.
But if we're going irrational fear, chains and water.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Even over feet.
Feet isn't like a fear. It's like a pure disgust. Strong disgust. Yes. Mm-hmm. Unease.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's something that someone has said to you that you never forgot?
Oh,
you guys think you had good questions. Look at that. Look at what I just pulled out.
Oh, I know that there's one that I always go back to, and now I can't think of it right now. What's yours?
I feel like I have a few, but there was one that you said to me at one point. Mm-hmm. You had said something about like basically that like I don't let like my partners like hold me back kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember that like I didn't feel like strong in that way at all. Like I didn't look at myself that way. And I was in the middle of like a really, really difficult relationship where like I didn't feel in control at all. And I felt like that person was like fully like taking over my life kind of thing. And so I think that like that was just like really like empowering to me. And it like I go back to that a lot. Like whenever I'm having like a hard time in a relationship, I always go back to like the fact that like you viewed me that way. And I was like, yeah, you're damn right. Get the fuck out.
Well, there was that conversation in the car when I came here for one of my friend's funerals that obviously was life-changing for me, basically where you said, like, that you were worried about me, but it was, like, it was the whole, like, conversation, so I can't really even, like, put it down into something. So I that's, like, a life-changing conversation, but what I'll say, I honestly don't know who said this to me or if I even came up with it. I can't remember, but
it's a Pinterest quote.
Probably, but it just
if you don't love me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
No, but it's that there's no limit to the amount of times that you can start over. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like have lived my life by that because I've obviously like I've made a ton of like bad choices and gone down many different avenues and stuff like that, and there truly is just like no limit to the amount of times that you can like reinvent yourself.
Yeah.
And I really don't know where I got that. I think it actually might have been from that Macklemore song, and I just kind of like changed it a little bit because he was like, I can be an example of starting over. And I was just like, that's right, there's no limit. But yeah, I'll never forget that.
I like that one.
Wherever it was from.
What's your favorite memory together?
Oh, goodness. I can't pick one.
You can pick a top three.
Okay.
Top five.
I don't know if I can even put them in order. Okay, one of them is there was this day after school in high school that I didn't have to work, which was like very few and far between.
It's rare.
Yeah. And I asked you if you wanted to go to H2O with me, which is a water park center thing. And you said, how are we going to get there? And I was like, I have my license. It was like right after I got my license. And so after school, we went and got our bathing suits and we went and we sat on these like foam things for like, I don't even know how long, it felt like hours. And we talked about like opening a spa and like our like our future and stuff like that. And then afterwards we went to this little market and got like cupcakes and stuff like that. I can't remember, but it was just like, it's such like a nice wholesome like memory. And that was, yeah, I really love looking back at that moment. It makes me feel good. And then I would say maybe like New York, sometime in New York, maybe like
you flooding the bath.
I was just thinking about that. Yeah. I don't know. Like, being in that museum with you, I think it was the first time I had ever been to the Met. No, MoMA. And I saw Starry Night and stuff like that. And Sam was just telling me about all of the art and stuff like that, because I'm not well-versed in art at all. And I feel like Sam has, like, quite a bit of knowledge. And it was just, like, so beautiful, because you and I hadn't, like, really spent a lot of time together in the past, like, however long surrounding that. And so it was just like really cool to see like how like what kind of world that you had become and whatever, and just like getting to learn and like kind of, I don't know, it was just, it felt like a special trip.
Yeah,
like that whole trip just felt really, really special to me, and I felt like more myself than I had in a really long time.
Oh
yeah.
Now I'm gonna really cry. Good avocado toast on that trip.
Yeah, we did have, and we ate it every goddamn day. And then I lost $200 in a house coat, so that sucked, but
That was hurtful.
What would be my third one? I don't know. We've had so many good memories.
I mean, Bed Bath & Beyond.
You know what? That was a good memory. Yeah. Going to Bed Bath & Beyond that one time. I don't know. Probably going to Gen Beauty with you as well was really exciting.
Oh my God, really?
I know that it's not your favorite, but again, it was just like so cool to get to hang out with you and like see that side of
your life. The one in Toronto.
Yeah. Getting to like see that side of your life, and I don't know, it was just, yeah, it was really nice. People cried to get to meet you.
Lord. Lordy Lord. Yeah. I have that Instagram post saved in my phone.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh. That's very nice. I'm sure that I could think of so many more favorite memories, but those are just the ones.
That's a podcast in and of itself.
My favorite memories with Sam, a novel. What's your favorite memory?
What do you think it is? Because you said you thought that you could guess.
I think I know what it is. I think it was when you were having a hard time and we drove down to the docks.
Ugh, she already knows.
You can tell it then.
It was just, we were in high school. Were we even hanging out a ton at that time? I kind of think we weren't really.
Yeah, I don't remember really. I think I was hanging out with Rich a lot.
Yeah. I was just like having a hard time in high school and stuff like that. This was like after my brother's accident. And Alyssa and I had just like driven down to this like beach kind of thing, these docks. And we were just like sitting in her car and like we like tipped the seats all the way back and we were just like laughing and like having a good time kind of thing. And it was like, it was just a moment where like I felt really, really good. And like, I think that I felt like things like could be okay basically. And so like, it was just a really good moment for me.
Oh, wait, I just thought of a nice one as well.
Okay.
In high school, we had our lockers in the drama room in this little room called the green room, which is like where you get changed for, like plays and stuff like that. It's like a dressing room. And Sam and I, did you have a spare or did you just always skip that class?
Okay, how dare you? My mother listens to this. I can't remember.
I mean, you turned out great anyway. So I'm so sorry, Michelle. It was really hard for me.
I was late for classes. I never once skipped.
Perfect attendance. I had a spare. I think Sam had a spare. Anyway, we had the same spare and we made a dance up to Kesha.
Oh.
And I feel like we've brought that dance back like so many times since.
Oh, we have.
And it was just such a good like memory because we were the only ones in there. And sometimes like the older kids
would make fun of us.
They would. And they were always
rightfully
in there.
Rightfully so.
Bullying is never okay. And and they weren't in there. So it was just us and we got to be like super like goofy and stuff like that. So I really liked that memory.
That was a good memory.
That was good.
I like how a lot of these like we bring back to high school.
Yeah.
What was your fondest memory of childhood?
I'm gonna have to think about that one. You go first.
Okay, so mine is probably, we have a cabin out in Saskatchewan. Of all places to have a cabin, truly. And we would like spend summers there a lot of the time when we were kids and stuff. And like, I think those were just like really like fond memories for me because we would like catch frogs. One time we accidentally cooked them to death. It was very sad.
Wait, accidentally?
Well, because we had put them in this pail of water. And then we like went inside for lunch and we came back down and all the water had evaporated and they were cooked at the bottom.
Oh no.
It was horrible. But yeah, we just had like a lot of fun like playing in the lake and like swimming and just like it was just a really like fun time. And like it's something that I remember like I would get along with my brothers for the most part when we were at the cabin. Aww. Which like, you know, yeah, like we fought tons when we were kids. So
yeah,
that was probably. And it's like it was something where like both my parents were obviously away from work when we were there. Mm. So it was just like good times.
I had like a, I don't know, my childhood was kind of like, you know, had a lot of ups and downs. Yeah. But I guess the one that like comes to mind and it's just because I'm on the spot. I remember snuggling with my mom one time and I remember the feeling so well. Like I always explain, I'm sure you guys have heard me say this before, but I explain it like my heart fills up like physically like a pitcher, like filling a glass of water. And I remember like snuggling my mom and being like, oh my goodness, like I just can't get close enough to you.
That I feel with my dogs.
Yeah. And she was like, okay, well, why don't we spoon? And it was the first time I had ever like heard of spooning or whatever. And I was like, I don't know what you mean. And she's like, you know how like spoons sit in a drawer together? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, we'll do that. And so then like I was a little spoon and she spooned me. And I was just like, oh, I just love you so much. I don't know. I remember that like so vividly. And it's just, I don't know.
And then we ate fruit flan.
Whatever. I love my mom.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
What's your favorite smell?
I think my favorite smell is actually probably the smell of like hot sand.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like I remember smelling it in Mexico and in Nicaragua. Just like being on the beach. I don't know if it's like the smell of like sand mixed with the ocean. Because I don't think that I smell that like from a lake.
Divine.
Yeah, but I really like that smell. Just like the,
just a vacation.
Yeah, the smell of vacation. Yeah. For sure.
Mine is probably the forest. Because like I just like when you're like out way, way, way in the forest and like it smells like sweet almost. Like you can smell like all the trees and like the dirt and like rain and like, oh yeah, like it's just so good. Like it just brings me like complete and like utter peace in my mind.
I knew that that was Sam's because every time we go.
Dog paws.
Oh yeah, you do love a smell of a yeasty dog paw.
I do. It's just like, it's like a dog only smell. So it's so comforting.
Yeah.
I love it. What is the easiest way to defy your trust? Hey-o.
I would say if I've said something in confidentiality.
Yeah.
And you tell somebody.
Yeah.
Because I don't often say things in confidentiality because I know how, you know, people are. So if I have, it's because I trust you 100%. And so, like, you know, going against that is like
huge. Made the mistake once, not doing it again. Now I assume everything's in confidentiality.
That mistake was not that bad. Like, it was like, oh, whatever.
It's the easiest way to defy your trust.
It is, but that one was like, ugh. That was like on a scale of like 1 to 10, it was like a 1.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I don't know what mine is.
Really?
My trust is not easily defied, to be completely honest, because like I don't think I don't know if I would even say that I don't put trust in people, but I more so just like don't. Maybe that is what it is. Like I just don't. I don't assume that like anything is between us, basically. Not like you and me specifically, but mm-hmm. like anyone. Like I pretty much assume that like if I'm saying something to you, there's a chance of it getting passed on. So right. I just assume that from being on the internet, basically. And like, what is like the worst? I have no idea. I honestly don't know. Like, I mean, in relationships, obviously, I come up with things. But friendships, I have no fucking clue.
I think I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Like, anything to do with work.
Yeah, yes. I think that, again, like, I think that, like, for me, trust is more of, like, a feeling rather than, like, a if you do this, then whatever kind of thing. Like, I think it's just more so, like, certain people have done things to me. And other people have done the exact same things. And with one person, I'm like, meh. And with the other person, I'm like, nah, that's it. Like,
yeah.
And I think it's just more so, like, I'll get the feeling of, like, I don't want you around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, I couldn't even, like, pinpoint something to, like, give you and be like, this is why. Because it's just everything at that point.
What if we change the word from trust to, like, what's the easiest way to betray you?
Yeah, I still don't know if I have, like, a thing. But, like, I feel like, I mean, I can go back through certain, like, relationships and be like, this was probably the moment that I felt, like, super betrayed. And, like, there has been, like, work things where I feel like, okay, so here's one thing that really, like, irks me. I do feel like I go out of my way to try and help people, especially when it comes to, like, career things and, like, you know, helping people, like, get on their feet or, like, figure out, like, a direction or something like that. And, like, if there's anything I can, like, do for my friends, I do it. Like, if I can, you know, like, introduce you to someone or whatever shit like that,
mm-hmm.
like, I absolutely will. And, like, it's, like, my pleasure. Like, I'm not, it's not something where I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess so. Like,
yeah,
I just would do it. And so I think that, you know, there's been times where, like, I've had people that have, like, sort of stepped on my toes after I've helped them out. And, like, that's really, like, a betrayal to me, I guess.
Yeah, it's hurtful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I totally agree with that, and I've known you for a long time, so I've seen you do it, and you've done it for me and stuff like that. And I also think what's admirable about that is you also don't hold it over people's heads.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I think that that probably also adds to, like, a betrayal in that sense.
Yeah.
Because you do it so, like, yeah, thoughtfully.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, goodness. I have too many.
Where do I begin?
Be here all day. What is a pet peeve, though? Because I have pet just, like, a lot,
like,
of...
Pet peeve is, like, an annoyance or, like, something, like... Just, like, something small that, like, just, like, ugh, like, just irks you.
Okay. So, I don't like it when people eat with, like, their teeth on their fork or their spoon. Drives me nuts.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like the sound. Yeah, I hate that sound. Or if you're, like, finishing, like, the last bites of something, like, really, like, scraping your spoon, like, around the bowl or whatever, like, a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts. I hate carbon dioxide.
When people... Which is just hysterical. Like, Alyssa hates when people, like, burp around her or whatever, or, like, fart. Like, if I, like, burp mildly in the car, she, like, rolls down the windows. But, like, she'll, like, burp into my mouth.
This is the thing, is it's like, it's not rational.
No.
Because also, like, I'll drop my water bottle. Okay, I'm, like, really weird about, like, cleanliness stuff, but only certain things. Because, like, I can drop my water bottle, like, fully on the ground and have, like, the top roll around in the dirt and I'll still drink out of it. But it's, like, certain things. So, yeah, I can't have, like, I don't like it when people breathe on me or, like, yeah. If I, oh, my goodness. If people, like, ugh, this happened to me one time. A lady in, like, the airport breathed directly into my mouth and then I inhaled that breath.
Ew.
I'll never forget it. Oh gosh,
gross.
The first time, sorry, this is just turning into a story time, but the first time I got my eyelash extensions ever done, she didn't have a fan. She blew on my eye for like an hour.
Ew.
She was just like
disgusting. What did she have for lunch?
Could you it smell? Was yeah, I think that I honestly ravioli. Could, and that was even worse. It was like it smelled like a tomato-based chunky soup.
Disgusting.
Like almost like minestrone or something like that.
Yeah. Disgusting. It was probably Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, maybe
was
not.
It a little beefy?
No, it smelled potatoey.
Gross.
What's your pet peeve?
I wonder if I can guess it. Okay, go ahead.
Ooh, I don't know. Maybe like the feet thing? No. Okay, go ahead.
ASMR.
Really?
Like it just sends I don't like really deal with anxiety, but it sends like my anxiety through the roof. I hate everything about it, and like Matt likes listening to like these this like unboxing ASMR, and it's just like, oh, like every part of my body is like just cringing. Like I just hate everything about it. It's horrible.
I hate ASMR too, but I wouldn't say it's one of my pet peeves because I don't have to like deal with it, I guess.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I sleep next to it. I just like I don't like people purposely making noises, I guess.
Oh yeah, I also hate S's.
Oh yeah, I know that breath.
Oh god, I like honestly, if you whistle your S's, don't even come to me. Yeah, that's why I like Moto Yoga, because they never say like breaths. They say two more breaths.
Sometimes they do say breaths.
I know, and then I listen, and I'm like,
how dare you get out of here? You're ruining my practice.
Yeah, you are ruining my zen.
If your life was a color right now, what color would it be?
Like today or in general?
Whatever.
I think it would be blue.
Okay.
I'm having a hard time. But in work, I would say she like saw my eyes like welling up and she got sad. In like work and stuff like that, I would say it's like a light pink.
Ooh, yeah. Like an approachable pink?
It is an approachable pink. Oh, we should trademark that.
I'm kidding.
But no, like I am. I'm really happy in like my professional life and stuff like that. I think that it's going really well.
Yeah.
But yeah. What about you?
I would put it at like an orange.
Okay.
Yeah, because like I'm almost like yellow, like happy, excited, like, you know, future kind of thing. And then red is like extreme stress, and I feel like I'm like somewhere in the middle because yeah. I'm feeling kind of torn in these two directions.
Yeah, I think more than two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Several.
Yeah, you got a lot of spoons in the pot.
I got a lot of spoons in the pot, frankly.
That was fun.
That was good old fun. Good old wholesome fun.
Yeah.
We'll this see is my, how that turns out.
Yeah. This is my new favorite wholesome memory.
Oh, touching.
Just kidding.
This is also our first podcast in our new podcast space.
This is.
We moved spaces.
Yeah. Approachable has moved. Yeah. It honestly, though, it felt like pretty good. It was a little different at first, but now it feels good.
Well, you guys, thank you so much for a fantastic first season.
We're so grateful for everybody who listens, and we cannot wait to show you what's in store for season two. So get ready, because August 21st is coming soon, you guys.
Thank you guys so much for listening, as always. Thank you guys for your support in this first season and for, you know, just listening along while we kind of, you know, go through this journey.
And we will see you guys soon.
Bye.
Bye.